Dawn and Joanna, this has been connections through years and years. We Tondo, a wonderful couple that was here this time last year as well. Great to see the family, the kids. What is it, two lads doing stuff? Wow, they're usually kind of, aren't they? Great, but let's hear it for them as they come and share.
Thank you for having us again. It's always a pleasure to be here. Well, this trip was supposed to be just family and friends and relax and a holiday. But we thought, you know, Joanna, why don't we do the church that, you know, the family church, our friends. So. You're one of the few churches that, and thank you for a short notice that we can come here. We always love this church. I mean, listening to those kind of stories, like Davey said, like everybody rallying into just for their for celebration, and that's amazing. And that's why I love this church. It's just such a family atmosphere. So thank you.
Thank you for having us again. Every time we come, we're so welcomed. I know we've known some of you for years, but others we don't know so well, and yet we always feel so welcome. And as Pastor said, you've been behind as a church our work in Tondo for years, really. Many years, a lot of years. And just looking around the room, I know people that give monthly to our malnourished group. I know people that fill up boxes after boxes of donations that come out, people that have done fundraisers, people that pray, people that have supported the youth camp, so many, mothers and toddlers, sent toys, sent gifts. So just as a whole, there's so many people that have contributed and partnered with our work. And just in case I forget to say it at the end when we get carried away, just thank you so, so much for every person that has come alongside us over these years.
I want to agree to what Pastor said about us different churches in the world. We are one church, and it's the blood of Christ that runs through our veins that makes us all one. And all culture and race and color is eradicated because of that blood. And that's why I'm so free. I so freely come to different churches like this one. I feel one with you because of Christ. I'm not supposed to share this morning, but just for a short time, because I was really blessed by the worship. And especially that last song, I Come With Simplicity. You know, sometimes a broken heart with heavy laden. We are all heavy laden, sometimes with broken voices. But I was about over a week ago, Tuesday, we were invited to an East End Glasgow to speak about Tondo. And I was there in the ministry mode. I'm going to bless people. I'm there to talk about the work that was happening in Manila. And it was a cafe night, the Tuesday night. There's somebody leading worship in the front. And everybody's worshiping and raising their hands. And the Lord asked me, just kneel. Just kneel. And I thought, Lord, it's awkward. I'm surrounded with strangers. And, you know, it's embarrassing. You know, if I do that, you know, they'll be thinking I'm going through something heavy, or, you know, they don't know me. But geez, I just kneel. So I just knelt down. And then when I did that, I couldn't stop crying. And I wouldn't stop crying, because it was just me and him. It was just me and him in a solitary place. I was surrounded with people, but I felt like I was just me and him. That reminded me of Mary and Martha. You know, Martha was doing everything that, you know, Lord, I can do this for you. I am capable of doing this to serve you. But then I want you to be Mary. And the Lord said, I want you to be Mary right now. So that's what I did. I want to share this to you right now. We don't normally do this. I just want to share about Tondo, but I just want to share this right now. I think this is for somebody. And it reminded me of that song. Sometimes we come with broken hearts and broken voices, but the Lord wants our hearts. The Lord will use our hands, but our hands are replaceable. I used to think when I was younger, you know, I'm going to change the world. I have this superhero complex, you know, but then God made me realize I am dispensable. God can replace me and somebody else can do a better job what I'm doing, but God wants my heart. And my heart is irreplaceable. God wants our hearts. God wants us to be Mary. Amen. Thank you.
One of the things we say in Tondo to the youth is, you know, because in our community, like any community, but there's always a need. So no matter what time you go to the dump site, into the slums, there's always a crisis. You could go early in the morning, afternoon, or evening, and there's always some major crisis. And so you can get caught up in just, you're pouring yourself out all the time. And so a few years ago, God asked us set up a house of prayer. So we set up a house of prayer so that before we even get into the building and meet the crisis, there's this little room. I know you've got a prayer room, I think, last time we saw it. It's the war room, isn't it? It's like where everything else flows from. But just when you... Sorry, this is not planned at all, so just take us as we are. But just as John was saying, that one of the things we say to the youth often is, you know, God wants you more than what you do for him. God wants each one of us here more than what the things that we do for him. And so... I just blessed, I saw, I think, pictures of the prayer room last week. Did you have a 24-hour thing or something like that? So just be encouraged. Just thank you that this is a place of prayer and worship too. And anyway, that's all not planned, so sorry. Talk
about Tondo now. I heard about the Filipino church praying as well for the fishermen. And apparently there's less fatalities because of that prayer. And amazing. Yeah, this church is so busy. But we're going to show a video of an interview of different parents in the community. So it's an insider's point of view. Instead of us just talking about Tondo, they will tell you all about it.
Those of you who met Jovaline, you know, we brought 5 young people with us last year. So the first gentleman in the video is Jovaline's daddy. And the second lady in the video is Jefferson's mum. He's actually still in the UK. He's in England. We sent him to England and we stayed in school. He's there for a week ministering. So he came back. That was just God. So we had the 5 young people with us last year from the slums. And then not knowing that one would come back, God made a miraculous way for Jefferson to go study at the Bible College of Wales for 3 months. So he's just finished. I don't know if Sarah's here. Is Sarah here? She's away. Same place as she went. So he's just finished, and then he ministered in Scotland for a few weeks. Now he's in England, and then he'll be going back to Tondo at the end of this week. I forget why I'm even telling you that. The video. So, sorry. Let's take us as we are. So it's Tagalog. So unless you get a supernatural understanding, there's subtitles down the bottom. Hopefully you can see them. Okay, so if you focus at the bottom, there's a translation there.
Araw maganda itong lugar natin. Malinis, tapos ang lahat ng tao rito ay maayos ang pamumuhay. Maganda kapaligiran. Siyempre, lahat ng nakatara dito ay mahanap buhay. Dumating ang 2004, inalis yung mga owner dito at ibinalik doon sa permanent. Siyempre, natira kami, mga renters na lang. Sa ganung pamumuhay, unti-unti nawala yung kuryente, tubig, kaya naging masalimuot ang aming komunidad. At dito nag-umpisa, nasira ang aming kapaligiran.
Malaking tulong ang nagagawa ng aming simbahan sa komunidad. Lalong-lalo na doon sa mga batang may bisyo, katulad ng mga nagsusolbe, nagra-rugby. Ginagamit ang aming simbahan para sila ay makarinig ng salita. Maraming mga kabataan ang nagbago dahil sa pag-attend nila ng sinag, ang iba-ibang mga gawain dito sa simbahan.
Ang masasabi masasabi ko lang po dito sa community, sa lahat ng mga tao dito, is like katulad po ng hanap po nila is scavenger. Din po, unang-una, sa nakikita ko pa rin dito sa community is like yung mga may mga bisyo like drugs, solvent. Then, naniniwala ako na may Diyos na nagmamahal sa mga katulad nila na malayo yung kanilang puso sa para sa kay God. Then, may pag-asa pa na yung buhay nila na mabago dahil sa Panginoon. Kaya't naniniwala ako na yung community na ito ay babaguhin para kay God.
Kaya malaking impact sa akin ng simbahan. Nabago yung buhay ko pamamagitan ng simbahan ko.
So just a quick background, 10 years ago, we celebrated our 10th anniversary for the church last March. So 10 years ago, we went to the Philippines with the plan of serving there for 6 months and in a dump site in Tondo. And we just arrived there and thinking, you know, we're going to teach in a school and choir and guitar, but the school wasn't expecting us. I said, "What are you doing here?" So we ended up in the street with the kids, and we saw the children playing, and they were happy, but they're playing in amongst the trash. So Joanna suggested, "Why don't we just sing with them and play with them, and tell them our Bible stories?" So we sang with them, "Jesus Loves Me," and talked to them about the story about Noah's Ark. And then just we realized that the kids are singing along with the song and they seem to know the songs. And we asked them, "Why do you know the songs?" And they said that missionaries would come here and go and they teach us songs and we get to know the songs, but they would leave. Oh, is that right? And then we were thinking, we'll do the same. We'll be leaving in 6 months. But there was a handful of kids. It was 10 or 12 children. And then they became 20 the next week. And then it became 50. And then 50 became over 100. And a couple of months later, it became over 200 kids. And it's just one of those mission fields that's ready for the harvest. It's just waiting for laborers. And that's when we realized that what the word says is true, that the laborers are so few, but the harvest is plentiful.
So one of the visions back then, just going over this because there's a few new faces, but one of the visions we felt like God really impressed on our hearts back then was to raise a team from inside the community, because we don't know what it's like to go without food for days, or what it's like to have a house destroyed every time a typhoon comes, or what it's like to have so many gang rights at that time. Not so much now, but back 10 years ago, there was just continual gang rights all the time. So when we would be maybe taking a kids choir or something, there was gun shooting on the roof. So that's not the kind of environment we were really brought up in. So God showed us, raise up a team from inside that will fully understand the issues and could minister from that. So 10 years on, by the grace of God, not because we are smart at all, but by the grace of God, and just that step of faith that he would ask you to take, little bit at a time, we now have a team of about 45 people. Everybody's from the community apart from one other pastor who comes from near where we live. And we've got full-time staff and part-time staff and volunteers that are running all of the ministries. So each time we come, it's getting easier to leave them, and it's just God's goodness. It's God's grace as they are meeting Christ for themselves. And then God's putting that compassion in them for their own people. They're actually able now to minister in a way that we even can't. God can use us all in different roles, but we're so blessed that 10 years on that it's that team now, and it's all glory to God. Everything's still going on. We've still got the feeding programs. We've got a clinic now that we didn't have. That was not planned as well. So any nurses that want to come, midwives. We've got a wee clinic that we partnered with another NGO And so that's open every day. And Christine, who you met last year, who was one of our university scholars, so we help put kids through college and university that are from the dump site or the cemetery. They either live in the dump site or they live in the cemetery area. And Christine lived amongst the tombs, and she's now qualified as a nurse. And she worked as a private nurse for a few years, but then last year after her trip, she felt called to come back into Tondo and work full time. So that was amazing for us. We didn't even drag her in. She asked to come. So we've got a full time nurse for the first time in the community. So pray for Christine, because she's just on demand all the time. She's the only nurse. So, and she lives in the community as well. So it's quite heavy going. So that was our prayer, to have a nurse. But God actually answered more than that and gave us a clinic. So we've got a full time clinic in the community as well in our building, that we run with another ministry. So that's all still going on.
Well, we give God all the glory, and it's all because of Jesus that all of these things are happening, and God is moving in that community, and God is changing things. As Joanna mentioned to you, a lot of the things that we do, like the feeding and the scholarship and the livelihood, but in the heart of it all is worship, and it's all about worshiping God, and that's what we evangelizing them. We evangelize to them that Jesus loves them, that there is hope, and discipleship. You know, that's on top of everything. And then the secondary things are, while they're here on earth, we try and help alleviate the poverty that they're experiencing. So I would like to show a video of our new kitchen, because this is what Paul and John from Mintlaw has done. It's a shame that Paul's not here to see it, but maybe I'll pass it on to him. But I want, this church has done so much to the community. Like, you've sent teams and elevated our floors, Gary and Martin, Andra, Paul is not here. But so we are so grateful. And the last, this one is the latest one, the new kitchen.
I'll give a bit of background to the kitchen. So those of you who had come out a few years ago, actually we've had three kitchen moves. The first one was a big area, but it got so flooded that the women, so we've got a feeding program that is at the moment feeding about 1,200 to 1,500 meals, kids per week. And then we have a second feeding program that's just for the most malnourished kids that would be in the danger zone, really, of being malnourished. So the mamas are amazing. Like Auntie Nora, Auntie Marlon, they go to the market in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, get all the food in, feed all these thousands of kids. But the kitchen was getting so flooded that they would be cooking in their welly boots, and the water was higher than the welly boots. If you remember, I think we showed pictures of that a few years ago. And it's not just water, it's like sewage. So it was, they were cooking and all this. So we moved the kitchen. And then the second kitchen, which did last for a few years, got completely overtaken by rats, to the point that the rats really won. It's just, no matter how clean they keep the kitchen, because we're situated on a dump site, there's just no really any way of keeping the rats out. So you'd go in the morning, and Auntie Marlon, that's the second lady, she would joke, she's like, oh, there's about 8 to 10 rats just running around the floor while she's cooking, you know, chicken in the pot. And this is not good. This, I know health and safety is already out the window where we are, but this is really not good. And the rats are quite big rats, and they don't run away. So they'll just come like in front of you while you're cooking. And so we were really praying, Lord, could you provide that we could move a kitchen, even if it's a smaller kitchen, that it would be, the goal is to have a rat-free kitchen. And so Paul and then John from Mintlaw came out and made that possible, worked with the local men, worked with the fathers and the young people, and created this little but rat-free kitchen. And the women were saying, not even a cockroach can get through. So it's much cleaner. So we're really, really thankful.
Because of Anne Lorraine, it's raining everywhere. Raindrops, so many raindrops. The iron is broken. Our roof is. Good morning, I see the rats were playing.
Yeah.
No rats.
Yay, no rats. Thank you.
No cockroaches.
No cockroaches.
It's a shame to hear what Paul is experiencing at the moment, and we're praying for him. And hopefully we'll see him later. And the Lord will heal him, in Jesus' name.
Our friends back in the Philippines, our team and all the community are really praying for him as well in the house of prayer, just believing for a complete healing, in Jesus' name. So that's the kind of practical stuff that's been happening. But as John said, really the core is all the humanitarian stuff is pointless without Christ. And as Ati Nora, the last lady on the video, was saying, she's believing for complete transformation through Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we've seen over the last... So we have a new president over the last year and a half. There's always been violence in our community, mostly through gangs, but we've never felt really in danger from the gangs because we work with their kids and their teenagers, so they kind of look after us. So if they're having a riot, they keep us out it, and they look after our team, basically. But in the last year and a half, we had a change of president. You might have seen it on the news. His name is Duterte, and he's quite a dictator. So before he got into power, he released a statement saying, if you have any drug users in your family, shoot them yourself, because if you don't, I will. And people thought he was just talking and all of that. But the death toll now is 9,000 within Manila. So with over the last year and a half, we've lost young boys that we work with. We've lost fathers from the men's group. A couple of months ago, we lost a teammate, Darwin, who's 24 years old, who never even had a history of drugs. So it's just real corruption. We have pointers in the community that are paid by the police. They get 10,000 pesos a head to point out who's using drugs, but they can really just say anybody. And then they get paid 10,000 pesos, which is about 120-ish pounds, to take their lives. So outside of our church gate, just 2 weeks before we came even, the killings were still happening. We had another young man shot outside of our building. And so that's been going on for about a year and a half. It has become less than it was, but it's still very much happening. So we would ask, if there was any prayer point, we would ask really that would be it, that you'd pray for our team. Ron and I get to go home at the end of the day to a nicer village, about an hour away from Tondo, but our team all live there. And so their fear has been that their walls are so thin that when the police are coming to do the raids, the bullets would go through their walls. But in the midst of that, we have seen God even using that situation to draw, especially the men, to himself. Some of these men would have had passed of drugs, but they've left it behind and are fully following Christ. But they're still on the hit list. And then some of them would still be wanting to get out of drugs, but entangled up in it. So all the men and the boys are at different stages. And yes, they should come under the law. There should be justice. But that's not what's happening. We've just got policemen coming in that are ununiformed policemen and shooting on sight in front of their children and everything like that. So we're left with a lot of traumatized children who have seen their fathers and uncles and brothers being murdered on the spot. So the only answer is Christ. There's no breakthrough happening at government level or anything. It's only Christ. So we would ask if you're going to pray about anything for us out at Tondo, that would be it, that we're really praying that the God of breakthrough will do what only he can do. And there's a passage, I think, I don't know if it's Isaiah 57 or 58, but it's just talking about that, how truth has gone and justice has fallen. And it says that the Lord looked and he wondered where all the intercessors were, and it says he didn't find any. I really spoke to him, like, Lord, we don't want to be like that. Like, in Tondo, like, we want you to see that we're praying for this. And by the end of that chapter, it's so encouraging. It says that then God's arm moved. God's arm came in. And that's what we're praying as a church, as a team, and as a community, that there will be peace. And that until then, that we would be a light, that the church would be a light in the midst of all that darkness that's going on.
Speaking of hope, the next video we're going to show you is an outsider's point of view. He's not from Tondo. He's not from the Philippines, but he's worked with us for quite some time now, Enoch is a videographer, and he likes to document people and situations, and he's featured Tondo, and he's got a really good perspective on Tondo, so here it is.
The community of Tondo in Manila, the capital of the Philippines, is often associated in photos and videos with poverty and with theft and murder and drugs. Those things are definitely there. But if you focus on just those things, you'll miss out the much bigger picture. When you get to know the people there, when you spend time with them, you'll see why they came to Tondo. You'll see what they're made of. And what they're looking for in Tondo are very human things. They're looking for hope and a future. They're there looking for jobs to provide for their families. They're there looking for education for their children. They want a stable, comfortable, safe, productive life. Imagine yourself having the worst season of your life. Would you want to be portrayed on a screen in that way? And now imagine them in a future day where you are now. When you look at them, you should see a brother and a sister who are going through the same struggles and the same celebrations as you are. Thanks for watching. I'm Enoch T, artist and designer in Mission. Peace out.
Amen. There's so much hope in that community. If you get to meet individuals and families, and you'll just see Jesus in them. And that's what keeps us going. That's our salary. That's how we get paid. It's just receiving love and giving love.
When Enoch said that, he says in that video, when we look at them, we should just see a brother and a sister. As he kind of goes back to what Pastor Kevin was saying at the beginning, it's like that's who they are sometimes. It's amazing. We our two boys, Josiah and Eli, they're 5 and 6. They come to the slums with us sometimes, not so much in the last year, because we're trying to use a bit more common sense with all the killings going on, but they were there with us a few weeks ago before we came. And every time we take them, I'm expecting them to see poor, mention poor, or oh, it's a shame for them, or but they never ever have. It's really, really interesting from a kid's perspective. It's like sometimes as adults we see, oh, they've got this issue, that's a shame for them. I mean, I know we have to have compassion, but sometimes there's a kind of, we're a little bit better, we're higher up than them. But with kids, they've never mentioned the place looks, they know it looks like chaotic, but they've never used the word poor. And I thought, that's amazing. It's like what Enoch said, and then the same. If we just look at people as, you're my brother, you're my sister. And that's what I learned actually through our own kids. When they come to the slums, they always go, oh, I can't wait to see my friends. Oh, they're so creative here. They don't have toys, but they're so creative. Oh, they share what they have. I mean, they do get this side of, oh, they play really rough. Oh, they always swear. And there's that side as well. Oh, they're always touching my white skin, the kids are saying, Josiah's saying. But they do really just see, oh, they're my friends, they're my buddies. They don't see, oh, they're so poor, it's a shame for them. So it's a lesson, I think, that we've learned through our kids. It's like if we could, like, praying for hearts, us as well, and all of us, like, if we could just see people the same as us. They're our brother, they're our sister, no matter what's going on in their life. So just tying up with what you said at the start.
Just in closing, I would like to present to you two young people. It's not with us, but they're in the video. But I asked them to be in a song, in a song video. The song is called 99, and it's based on that scripture about the good shepherd who left 99 sheep to look for the one that was lost. So I asked these two young people because their lives are very similar to the first verse. And the second verse, Christopher, in the first verse, was a drug addict. He was in gangs, and he They call him jumper boys. The jumper boys would jump on trucks and steal stuff and sell them to the junk man. And he was also at the time, he was carrying salt, sniffing glue. That's why he was running from the authorities with his other friend. His other friend got caught, but he ended up in a church. He was hiding in a church. It was a Friday night. He ended up getting invited into the youth that night. And that's how he ended up getting to know the Lord. And then the second verse is about Sophia. She went through a depression. Do you want to?
She gave us permission to share her story. So if you met Sophia, she has like the biggest smile ever. She's just a joyful, joyful teenage girl. And she talks all the time. And hopefully next year she'll become one of our scholars to put her. She wants to do journalism, which would just suit her because she never stops talking. But a few years ago, just the situation within the dump site really got to her in family circumstances, where she got to really the end of the road and she wanted to take her life. And she was going to take her life. And just as that was going to happen, some of the young people reached out to her and said, hey, there's a, not knowing her situation, but reached out to her and said, look, there's a youth service. Like, why don't you come along? And she went along and she met Jesus. And when she met Jesus, everything changed and she began to heal because of Christ. So these are the two young people on the video.
99.
I've been running 100 miles an hour. I'm not finding what I'm looking for. And I've been tired for the longest time. I am thirsty in this dry and weary land. They told me that you're the living water. They told me that you can be my father. Come and shepherd who would leave the 99, come and rescue me.
I know that it said that inspired that the song was inspired by these two young folk, but in reality, it's all about the boy called Jason. Earlier on this year, he came into our church. Jason was living under a bridge, and his mother died, and his father is with another woman. And there was a point in his life that he was going to kill himself. He hung a noose up on the ceiling, and he was ready to go. And one of our men in church told him, "You shouldn't do this. You know, there is hope. Jesus loves you, and you should come with me." And he was able to convince him. But he came to church, and I said, "You know, we'll provide for you. You can stay here. Stay here in church, and you should go to school. We'll provide a scholarship for you, and we'll feed you, we'll clothe you." And he said, "Yes, that'll be good." He actually said, can you adopt me too? can you adopt me? Can you be my dad?" But I said, "You know, we'll help you with all these things. You know, we'll feed you and provide scholarship." But he said, "Yes, I'll stay here." But a few days later, he was gone, and we don't know to this day where he is. I was supposed to be doing a video all about him, but I ended up asking these two young folk. But just pray for Jason. You know, it's not all about success stories and happy endings, but there will be always that one who got away. And to us, it's not just one. There's a few of them that needs a lot of prayer and reaching out.
Sometimes when we go to churches, people are excited to hear the success stories, and we do praise God for the lives that he has transformed. But every one of us in our families or communities, there are people that we're pouring into. I'm sure we can all think of somebody that we're pouring into, and their stories don't always end up the way that we want them to end up. But as long as they're on this earth, just like Jason, we don't know where he is. And there's so many like Jason, especially with this time with the drug war and everything that's happening. So many that just go and we don't know, are they dead or alive? But as long as they're on this earth, there's still hope, and we can still pray into them. We can still keep loving them. And so it's not all success stories. Please don't think we're here just to tell you how great everything's going. Like, we praise God for the transformed lives, and we praise God for what he's doing. But we can all think in our community stories like Jason, where the stories just don't end up the way that you really want them to. But I was reading this wee passage of, I can't even remember what book it was, but this missionary was talking about, you know, you pour into people's lives, and maybe it's a prostitute and they go back to prostitution. We've seen that in our community. Maybe it's a drug addict that goes back to drugs. We've seen that in all the different situations and scenarios. But she says, but here's a question. Are they still worth it to God? Are they still worth it to you? Okay, that's the question I think we can all have in our hearts. Are these people that we're pouring into in our communities, are they still worth it to God, and are they still worth it to each one of us? So thank you so much for your support. If you want to know anything else, we've got some wee leaflets. If you want to receive the newsletters that we try and get out every few months, just if you leave us your email and we can send you through the latest updates and prayer requests. But thank you so, so much as a church, and then for those individually who give and pray into the work. We really, really thank God for every one of you.
And thank you again, Pastor. Thank you for having us. And we are, there's nothing special about us. We're not trained. And we're actually not missionaries or musicians. And we didn't have any Bible school background. So just want to remind you that the Great Commission is for everyone, not just for the pastor. Our theme for the whole year in church in Tondo is "Send me." Isaiah's response, "Lord, send me." So the person right beside you in the bus or at work or your neighbor is your mission field. It's probably your family, your friend. That is your mission field. And they need you. Jesus. They need Jesus. Just tell them that Jesus loves them. Thank you.